Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Thankful for what He's doing in our lives, and I'm thankful for that love. That's the kind of love that reaches into all the dark places and pulls you out. I want to talk about that for a few minutes today. John 11, verse 43. Just going to read one verse and let you be seated this morning. John 11, 43. This is spoken at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus and someone that he loved dearly. He loved Lazarus and he loved Mary and Martha, his sisters, and they were dear to him. But Lazarus had died. But in the middle of all that grief and all that was going on, the confusion, the hurt, the questions, Jesus steps to the tomb and he says this: "When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" I want to preach for a little while today on this. "He called me out of darkness." Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you today for your word. Thank you for your presence that we feel today, for that love that's so prevalent in this house right now. Thank you, God, for your glory that's in this place. We love you today. Thank you for the love that you have shed on us, God. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost that you've poured out on us, Lord. We love you today. Thank you for saving us and for calling us, Lord. Let us hear the word today. Let it find good ground in our heart. Make us better. Challenge us and change us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord before you're seated. Hallelujah. Thankful. Thankful for the Lord. He called me out of darkness. That'd get people to shouting. We used to sing that. My wife then would sing that. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And man, I tell you, it's one of them, like we say sometimes, you think we say it jokingly, but in some instances, it would happen. People start throwing babies at you, because they needed to go shout. And they didn't just pass them gently. Sometimes they was airborne for just a moment. Here. And that's how we raised them, is just toss them around and shout. They learned how to do it. But what a story. What a great, victorious story that when things looked like it was over, when it was final, it wasn't. The Lord always has the last word. He's the first and the last, and He is the Word. Come on, somebody. He's always got the last word. But it was true. It was a fact. Lazarus, his friend, a friend of Jesus, someone that Jesus loved, was dead. And he had not just died. He was 4 days dead. And Jesus knew he was sick, but Jesus knows what he's doing also. When we think about death, we think of finalities. We think of lack and absence. We think of grief and mourning. It seems death has won this round. And if there was no Jesus, that would be true. But we have a God. Aren't you thankful that you've got a God today? Aren't you glad that in the worst times, in the worst situations, when it seems like this is the only outcome, this is the only thing that can happen, nothing else can be done, that you've got a God, that Jesus is waiting to do something great and miraculous? If there was no Jesus, I'd still be lost. If there was no Jesus, you'd still be lost. If there was no Jesus, there'd be no hope of being saved. Praise God, but there is a Jesus. I'd probably be dead if it wasn't for him, but there was a Jesus. Now, Lazarus was no different than you and I. He lived, he loved, he had family, he had friends. I'm sure that he had hopes and plans and dreams. Doesn't say that he was married. Maybe he was a younger man, and maybe he intended on being married one day. But whatever plans or thoughts he had at that time, that was over with, because Lazarus was indeed dead. Death had stopped him in his tracks. He was not going to go any further on this planet, but there is Jesus. Jesus is greater than death. Hello? Jesus is greater than sickness. He is greater than decay. He is greater than the grave. He is greater than any situation that you've ever been through. Jesus is greater than death. People didn't believe that. People didn't understand that. His sisters, the sisters of Lazarus, both met Jesus with the same information when they saw him. Jesus, if you had been here when he was sick, if you had just been here while he was still breathing, if you had just been here while he was able to see you and he could hear you and you could talk to him, if you had just been here 4 days ago, then my brother would still be alive. Like the situation, any situation is too hard for him. If you'd have just been here when we were alive, when we could have got you to him and you could have spoke with him, if you'd just been here earlier, Lord, everything would be all right. But Jesus is greater than death. And Jesus had a plan. In verse 4 of chapter 11 in John, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, he declared it right then so everybody would know, this sickness is not unto death. But hold on, he died. He meant that death did not win this round. This sickness is not a victory for death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Your answer, the answer that God has for your situation, is glory. He said, he's sick, but death's not going to get the victory. Why are we even talking about death? What's going on? He's going to die, but death won't get the last word. He's going to die, but it won't be over for Lazarus, because I'm coming. I'm showing. I'm going to have a response, and when I do, it's going to be for the glory of God. In our darkest, coldest hour, the Lord is planning on victory. Whenever it feels like nothing is going my way, you just go ahead and rest assured that Jesus has glory planned for you. He wants somebody else to see. It might be hard what you and I are going through, but there's a reason for every bit of it. He told them there's a purpose. In verse number 14, Jesus told his disciples, Lazarus is dead. He said, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. You've seen me heal people before. I'm glad I wasn't there. To the intent, he never does anything just on a fly. He's always got an intention. He is intentional about what's happening in your life and my life. He's intentional about the time it takes for him to step in, because he sees further down the road than you and I do. He sees the big picture, and we think sometimes, I can't handle this. Well, maybe you can't handle it, but he's the resurrection and he's the life. And he said, I'm glad for your sake, to the intent that you might believe. There's always a plan to help you believe and to make you better. And friend, he's telling the disciples, I'm glad for your sake, because you need to see what I can do. And sometimes you wonder, why do I go through this trouble? Why do I struggle? Why was it so long before my deliverance? Because somebody else has to see that Jesus can bring you out so that they can believe. Because you can tell them all day long that you're somebody, but if you still look dead, they ain't going to believe that Jesus has done nothing. But when they see a resurrection in your life, when they see the work of Jesus in your life, when they see what the word that he spoke over you working in your life, now they can believe, maybe Jesus can do that for me too. Somebody ought to give him a hand in this house. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. We are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Lazarus not going to have no more words unless Jesus comes to him while he's dead and buried and stinking and raises him. And sometimes it might get bad, and sometimes it might get worse, and sometimes you may feel like, just go ahead and roll the stone over me. But Jesus has a plan for your life and its glory. So hang in there. Hang in there. Be steadfast. Be immovable. You got to know that your work for the Lord and your labor for the Lord is not in vain. God's going to come through. You hang in there. But it's been hard. I believe it. It's been tough. I'm sure it has. But I trust God. The scripture says, but God is faithful. And he will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you are able to bear it. Honey, I'm telling you, you're on the winning team. You got somebody on your side. And in your deepest, darkest hour, let me tell you, the voice of the Lord is going to pull you out. He called me out of darkness. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I know it can get bad. Here's a secret. It can get worse. Yeah, we don't want to hear that. But when Jesus is your friend, when Jesus is on our side, friend, the scripture says he came that we might have life. John 10:10 told us explicitly. He said, I know there's an enemy, there's a thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. He said, I'll come in behind him, let him do his worst. Let him do all, let him take everything you got, let him kill you, let him destroy your name, do all that, and then I'll come and give you a life. I'll give you a life. You won't be on life support. I'm going to give you a life. You won't just be barely hanging on. You'll be living. You'll be praising. You'll be shouting. You'll be testifying. You'll be preaching. You'll be letting somebody know, oh, I serve the mighty God. Praise the Lord. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. Come on, I'm going to work you in this service because he's worthy of all the praise. I'm going to get you to praise in this service because he's worthy of the glory because I know what he does. You can look at me and say, well, Pastor, you don't know. I know what he does for everybody. He loves us all. And hey, what he does for one, he'll do for all. He was very specific to say, Lazarus, come forth. God's got a miracle with your name on it. You hear what I'm telling you? God's got a miracle with your name on it. He's going to bless you in this house. He's going to bless you in your life. I know what I'm talking about. You know, at this time of year, I start reminiscing because almost 33 years, not quite, we've still got a little time. It will have to click over into the new year, but almost 33 years ago, I was Lazarus. Jesus loved me. I didn't know him, but Jesus loved me. I had family that loved me. I had friends that loved me. They knew who I was, but what I was sick. I'm not talking about natural sickness, but I'm talking about a spiritual sickness. And I was only getting worse. According to Scripture, my diagnosis was that I was dead in trespasses and sin. I had no way out. I could not save myself. I could not wash my own sins away. I was stuck in that dark place of sin. The scripture says, for the wages of sin is death. And I was collecting my wages, friend. I was there. He wasn't just talking about a natural death, but I was dead on the inside. But on January the 13th, 1993, I heard a voice. It broke through the darkness of sin and shame. It got all the way down to the caverns of my heart. It called me and said, come forth. Leave death and sin and darkness. Leave that cold, dark place you're in. Come forth. I had a lot wrong with me, but Jesus intended for me to have the victory. And friend, I got the victory. When he called me out, I got the victory. When he washed me in his blood, I got the victory. Friend, when he died, when Jesus Christ died on that cross and rose from the dead, he made a way for each and every one of us. He made a way for you and I to come out. He made a way for you and I to be victorious. He did it so we could lift our hearts and lift our hands and with a pure heart say, thank you, Jesus, for delivering me. This world don't know what it's missing. I don't want to be even similar to them. Well, if you'd have found me at a different time, God, it might would have worked. It can work now. Sometimes people say, I was at a better place. It would have been better if you'd have got me then. He can get you now. You ain't got so far that he can't get you. You ain't so deep that he can't pull you out. Friend, you ain't got so high or so hidden that he can't find you. God can bring you out. All he has to do is send his voice. Come forth. I don't want to ignore the voice of God. I'm telling you, don't you hear him calling, calling, calling today. I'm glad today that I heard a voice and it pulled me out. Don't think, I got too much wrong, Pastor. You ain't got as much wrong as Lazarus had with him. You still upright. You still breathing. And the Bible says there is more hope for a living dog than a dead lion. Yeah. A dog in Scripture ain't much. They, in those days, if they called you a dog, that's pretty low. But in a lion, that's majesty and strength and power. But he said a dead lion ain't got no hope. But there's more hope for a living dog. Oh, I was a living dog. But one day I heard him call me. He called me out of darkness. He called me. His voice broke through. And it got past my hang-ups. It got past my habits. It got past my addictions. It got past myself. It got past my flesh. It got past my meanness. It got past all those things. And friend, it struck something inside of me that had never been touched before. And I knew that it was the Savior. Say, how do you know? You just know when the Creator touches creation. You just know. You don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to tell you. You think Lazarus had an answer? All I know is I heard the voice of the one that made me, and it woke me up. Last thing I remember was taking my last breath, and then all of a sudden I was breathing again, and it was because I heard the voice of God. Oh, if it's been a while since you took that breath, listen up, because he's calling your name today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lazarus had as much wrong as anybody could have wrong. He was dead. The dead know not anything according to Scripture. That's why I didn't know what to do. Because when you're dead and trespasses and sin, you don't know nothing. He says the dead praise not the Lord. I wasn't glorifying God with my life. But he still said, let me go in to that graveyard and call this young man. Let's see if he'll recognize the voice of the Savior. Let's see if he'll recognize his Creator. Let's see if when I touch that place that I put down deep inside, if he'll understand, I'm calling you forth. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. He came forth. And he had a lot wrong with him. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, and you hath he quickened. That means brought to life. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Leave that scripture up for me, please. My favorite part of this scripture. And you. And you. You good, smart, popular, rich, wonderful, well-known person. He didn't put nothing behind it because he wanted everyone to know he's talking to me. And you, drug addict, and you, alcoholic, and you, you know, you liar, you thief, you all, and you, and me, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, 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 I can't point at nobody that it don't apply to. And you hath he quickened life more abundantly, a life to live for him, a life to be thankful, a life to be grateful. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Don't live like you're dead. Don't live like you didn't hear him. Don't live, don't ignore the voice of the Savior. The scripture says, today, if you will hear his voice, will you hear the voice of the Lord today? Will you hear the Savior calling? Will you hear the King beckoning you? Come forth. Come out of that. Let me deliver you. And you. And you. Look at your neighbor and say, and you. And then tell the other one, and you. He's talking to you. God's talking to you. God's calling you. God's reaching for you. God's speaking to you. God loves you. God sees you. God knows that you're struggling. He knows that you're on the way down. You may think it's going to be too late, but when he gets there, it's never too late. He said, I want you to see that it doesn't matter how bad it gets. It can get as bad as it can be. You can be dead. You can be rotten. You can be stinking, but I can still speak life into that situation. And we need to get that. That he might not get there on my timetable. Maybe we think it would have been better if he'd have came on, but he said, nope. They got to see something they've never seen before. They got to see something. Now we know about Jairus' daughter, how she had just died and he got there, but they had never seen him go to a tomb of a man that was dead 4 days, rotten. He ain't in a cooler. He ain't in the freezer. He's in the Middle East, and he's in a cave, and he's wrapped up, and it's hot, and he's decaying. He has no breath, no sight, no blood flow. Nothing is working in his life. Ain't nothing working for Lazarus but Jesus. Sometimes there ain't nothing working in our life but Jesus. So you better not walk away. You better not turn your back. You better not stop your ears. Because sometimes the only option we got, the only thing that's any good or working is him. Praise God. Woo! No matter what or who has put you where you are, Jesus can break through and call you out of darkness. In 1 Peter 2 and 9, he made sure to recognize this and tell us, but you are a chosen generation. Now, we used to choose sides in school for our teams, and we would always choose the fastest and the biggest and the strongest, and we didn't choose the weakest and the smallest or the ones that wasn't popular, the ones we didn't want to be. But he said, I have chose you. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises. It's something people ought to see, something people ought to see and hear issuing forth from us. We should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's no greater physical demonstration of that than Lazarus, because God created, let there be light. And Lazarus stepped into the light that God had created at the beckoning of his voice. And at the beckoning of his voice, we come out of the darkness of sin. We come out of the shadows. We come out of those deep places. We come away from those places where we're trying to hide, and we come forth into his marvelous light. I know the scripture says that men love darkness because in the darkness they feel hid and they are afraid of the light because in the light they are revealed. And let me tell you, maybe people thought when Lazarus started hopping forward, but he was wrapped up, maybe they were afraid of what Lazarus would look like. Maybe they were afraid of what Lazarus would smell like. But I'm telling you something, when God called Lazarus, he didn't call a zombie. Yeah. He didn't call somebody with the flesh falling off his body. He called a man. When his voice touched that man in that dark place, immediately the skin was restored. Immediately blood began to flow as the heart began to pump and lungs inflated and deflated. His kidneys, his liver, his pancreas, his spleen, all the things that were there, all the organs were working. Blood supply was flowing. It was working. His joints worked. His fingers worked. His hands worked. His eyesight, his ears, friend, his everything. There was nothing wrong with Lazarus. You don't have to be afraid to come on into the light, because the voice of the Savior has called you there. Let him do that work. Let him bring you into the light. Woo! Because when people see that he has brought you out, that he's got a plan for you. You know what Jesus told him to do? He said, loose him. Let him go. Unwrap him. And you'll see what good work I do. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes if we would just let people go. Instead of, oh, you only been out of the grave for an hour now. Come on. Calm down. Let me tell you what. When they come up out of this grave, when they come up out of that grave, loose them and let them go. Don't try to hold them to what God just buried. Don't try to hold. It says we're raised up to walk in the newness of life. Don't try to hold them to something that God just washed away. He just loosed them. Let them go. Let them go and preach. Let them go and pray. Let them go and worship. Let them go and testify. Let them go and do something for God. What else did Lazarus need? Oh, well, see, I was dead for 4 days, but I don't know if I can really tell you. Dead for 4 days? Yeah. Somebody comes up and tells me, I just came back. From where? Dead. What? That's plenty. That's plenty. Dead. Yeah. Yeah. I was an alcoholic, but I'm not anymore. Hey, talk to me then. Tell me. I was on drugs, but I'm not anymore. Talk to me. I want to hear you. Tell me about it. I was addicted to this. I was addicted to that. I was going through this. I was going through that. What happened? Jesus, talk to me about it. What else? I know we grow and mature in our faith and in perfection, walking with God. We're going to mature and get better. But friend, you can come right out of the tomb and say, look what he did. Look what he did. Do you know? I was drinking every day and now I don't drink at all. I was smoking every day and now I don't smoke at all. I was shooting up every day and I ain't even looked at a needle. Friend, tell me about it, because as soon as you come out, people are going to see what God has done. He called me and you out of darkness. Somebody already lift their hands and praise God in the sanctuary. Come on, somebody. Where did he find you? Where did the voice of the Lord hit you at? Come on, somebody. Where did he find you? Where did he find you? Where did he find you? Sometimes the tomb is in the church pew. Sometimes it's in these chairs. And you're here, but you're not hearing. Hear him today. stop waiting for him to come in and snatch you out. Simply hear him. I love you. I died for you. I've got a plan for you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Just come out. Don't sit on the pew and die. Don't sit in the house of the Lord and not hear the voice of the Savior. Oh, God, help us. Hear! I'm telling you something today. I don't care how long you've been dead. Jesus can bring you back to life. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how bad it's been. I believe you. I believe every bit of it. But I also believe that he is the resurrection and the life. Woo! He's calling. He's calling. There's a miracle today with your name on it. There's a man in the scripture. Mighty, mighty. Used of God, a prophet. The prophet Elijah. We read about the miracles that Elijah did. It's staggering. Right after building an altar and saturating it with water, he prays and God sends fire down from heaven. Proves that he is God. They kill all the prophets of Baal. And Jezebel threatens his life. And Elijah, this mighty man, fears and he runs and he hides. But even in his running and his hiding, God feeds him and sustains him with bread and nourishment and water. But Elijah finds a cave and he goes inside and he has prayed and said, "It's enough, Lord, just take my life. What am I going to do now? Just take my life." But the voice of the Lord says, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Come forth. Go to this mountain. This is not what I've got for you. That old sorry woman, Jezebel, she's not got authority in your life. I'm the voice of authority in your life. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth." I think God wonders sometimes, what are you doing there? I called you here. What are you doing there? I called you here. You better hear me today because the Holy Ghost is talking to you. Hello. He knows you. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. He knows all about you, and he still says, come forth. The Bible says he stands at the door and he knocks, and he knows what goes on in that house that you've built, but still he knocks. And if we hear his voice, he will come in and we'll come forth. If we'll hear his voice, he'll come in and we'll come forth. And we won't be dead anymore. 11 and 44 of John says, "And he that was dead came forth." Oh, he was dead. He was stinking. He was decaying. He was nasty till my word. The scripture says there's been a washing of the word in our life. Praise God. God spoke, things change. When God speaks, things change. When God speaks, things change. He doesn't call you forth into another mess. He calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And for Lazarus, things were made right, put back, restored, in warmth in place of cold, life in place of death, movement in place of stillness. The one place of scripture says he turns our mourning into dancing, our grieving, our sadness, our weeping. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, beauty for ashes. He's always trading at his word. It changes. And when you come forth, you're not dead anymore. You come out of the tomb. You come out of the dark. and you join the living. Now, Lazarus had never been physically dead before and then brought back to life. He had to learn. I'm sure it was a unique thing to be back alive. How do I deal with people now that I'm back alive? You just tell them what Jesus did. Now that he's called me to life, what do I do? Because it's new. It's new life. It's new birth. I've never been born again before. I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost before. I've never been baptized with Jesus. What do I do? Just tell them what Jesus did. But they want to know about the red dragon in Revelation. Then tell them you don't know about the red dragon in Revelation. Tell them what you know. Tell them what Jesus did. Tell them how he changed you. Tell them how the word touched your heart and something happened. And tell them, oh, I don't know how to, I'm still figuring out how to live this life. I'm still trying to get it down. But one thing I know. That blind man said it perfect. They said, how'd you get your eyesight? Jesus did it. How'd you get your eyesight? Jesus, will you? If I tell you again, are you going to hear it? Here's what I know. I was blind, but now I see, and Jesus did it. How he did it, why he did it, but he did it. And you don't have to know every answer to every why or to every how, but you can't deny what he did to you. You can't deny what he's done in you. You can't deny how where you were, and you can't deny where you are. And such were some of you. Come on, somebody. And such were some of you. That's what 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Woo, I wish somebody, come on to the music. I wish somebody would hear that voice today. I wish somebody would hear what God is saying in this house today, because he is reaching for somebody. Sure as I'm standing flat-footed in this shoe, he's reaching for somebody today. God is speaking to you. Don't you shake his voice off one more time. Don't stop your ears up. Don't harden your heart. The Bible says today, if you'll hear your voice, harden not your heart as Israel did when they were in the wilderness. Don't harden your heart. God is reaching for you. The mighty God, the God of the universe, the God of all creation is reaching for you today. In Romans chapter 6, Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead, listen, dead to sin? We were dead in sin, but now we're dead to sin. How can you live there anymore? Lazarus didn't go out and hug all his friends, and when everybody started, the party started breaking up, he said, well, I guess I'll go home and go back and lay down in that tomb. He said, I don't want to see that place again, ever. He said, don't you know that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He's calling. He's calling. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, if you believe he's the Son of God that died for your sins and rose from the dead, the scripture says, he that believeth this gospel and is baptized shall be saved. God's calling for you today. Hear me. Verse 11 says, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in verse 23, he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's newness of life, my friend. Stand with me. One day, Peter, with the keys to the kingdom, stood up in the middle of a great feast, and he spoke to God's people that were in darkness. He spoke to Israel, and he said, this same Jesus that you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. It says said they were pricked in their heart. The word touched them and something was happening. What shall we do? What do I do, Pastor? What do I do? The gospel is the death, burial, the resurrection. The resurrection is coming out of the tomb, coming out of darkness, coming into new life. You obey that through Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Repentance is where we die to sin. Baptismal is burial. We just read that in the scripture. We are buried with him in baptism. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Remission of sins is necessary for salvation, and it only comes through baptism in Jesus' name. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the life. That's the life. That's it. Death, burial, resurrection. So I'm wondering, will you obey the voice today? I know we got folks that have been in church in here a long time, but maybe you need a little resurrection in your life. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. He needed a resurrection. Maybe it's life circumstances that you can't quite hear it anymore. But today, by the authority of his word, if you will hear his voice, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, will you hear his voice today? If you're in this room, you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, or you haven't been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, will you hear his voice today? Will you say, I'll take a chance on that, because I'm tired of this tomb living. I'm tired of this graveyard living. I want the life. I want new life. I want to get into the light. I want to get where the light is, Pastor.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.